Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. Today he'll bring part two of a message titled, How's Your Walk? The text is from Galatians 5, verse 16.
Please open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 5. I began this message last week, and I don't know when I'm going to finish it. Wish I could have 2 hours straight. This thing is burning in my heart. But I'll have to just give it in small doses and hope that something, some small something, was remembered from time to time that you can carry over. I'll give you just a brief review. I'll have to do that because it's been several days. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul is dealing with the carnality, the fleshliness, of a group of Judaizers in the church at Galatia who are trying to impose Jewish customs carried over from their former life before conversion, Jewish religious customs, trying to bring that into a church of Gentiles, both of which, Jew and Gentile, have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. But these people still had vestiges of the law that they wanted to hang on to. And in verse 1 of Galatians 5, he said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And then he said in verse 13, "Brethren, you've been called to liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. For this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." He said, you Jewish converts who are creating havoc in the church by trying to impose something that doesn't belong in the church of the redeemed, trying to bring in your opinions which God doesn't want in the church, your customs which He doesn't want in the church, you're trying to say it has to be a part of the church, you're creating division and strife, and that's fleshly. This sounds rather contemporary to me, and it probably does to a lot of you, because some of you, tragically, are perhaps in churches right now where proud people, people who are spiritual bullies, if you will, wish to impose their pet interpretations upon the whole body of believers. These may be interpretations about lifestyle issues, issues of dress, issues of the doctrines of the end times, or preferences of texts to be used, of the acceptable translations, bringing great dogmatism to bear to the church, where issues of dogmatism should not be, where differences of opinion should be allowed, because they are not matters that are determined by the Scripture, but by the will and the preferences of the people, who in the force of their personality are trying to force upon a church body and creating strife thereby, things that just should not be in the body of Christ, where differences should be allowed. He says, this is nothing but the flesh. God's not in it, he says. But he says, I want to tell you something. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The title of the message is, How's Your Walk? How's Your Walk? And after this that we have read, there's more to be read that we'll read later when we get to that part having to do with our walk. But he gives us in this passage, in verse 16, God's antidote against carnality. Look at it again. walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill or carry out the lust of the flesh. Each of us in this room who is a redeemed child of God lives in daily warfare with the Spirit warring against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. Paul did, and he talked about that in Romans 6 and 7. We need to have some clear understanding about this because, number one, if you think there's something abnormal about you because you're having this conflict that somehow you're a second-class Christian and that somehow you haven't arrived at the attainment of spirituality that you should be in, that there's something wrong for you. And that when you get to be really spiritual, this warfare will end. Forget it. That's not taught in the Bible. The warfare is lifelong. The New Testament makes that very, very clear. But each of us in this room will walk one of two ways. We will walk in the Spirit or we will walk in the flesh. And Paul says if you want to please God, you can't walk in the flesh. So how then do you not walk in the flesh but walk in the Spirit? The antidote to walking in the flesh is to determine that by God's grace you will walk in the Spirit. Now the walk is the word in our English translation here, that describes the way we progress through life. The way we make our way along the pathway of life. That's our walk. We walk along the pathway of life. We'll walk that way in the flesh, or we'll walk along the pathway in the Spirit. The key to not walking along the pathway in the flesh is to walk in the Spirit, to yield to the Holy Spirit, to live under His influence. My friends, if you are saved, the Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, is a living person in you. He's real. And the Lord Jesus said in John 14, 17, that when the Spirit of truth would come, He would be in us. John 14, 17. The Spirit of truth who is in us. And He said in John 16, 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And He also said in that same chapter, He will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit does two things in the world. He leads us, the believer, because He lives in us, He leads us into God's truth, to an understanding of the Bible, God's truth. He wrote the Bible. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the one who wrote this truth, using human instruments to do it, guides us into an understanding of that truth. He's operative within us. And He's operative in the world. He convinces the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So God the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, is speaking to the world. You and I, before we were saved, we were spoken to in conviction as the Word of God drew us to the Savior, to the realization of our sinfulness, hell is our destination, sin is our curse, under the condemnation of God, and then to the realization through the Scripture that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So the Holy Spirit convinced us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Every time a sermon is preached when there are unconverted people in the audience, God the Holy Spirit is the speaker to the hearts of the unsaved. And He's a speaker to the heart of the saved. So that's the Holy Spirit's role. When we make His Word, according to Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. when we make God's Word the light to our path, we walk, we make our way through life with the Word of God illuminating our path, showing us where the pitfalls are, the dangers, the treachery, so we can avoid. So God the Holy Spirit leads us into truth, and with the Word of God illuminates our path of life. So our walk in the Word of God is a walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God controls through the Word of God our walk in life. Now, if you're not spending any time in the Word of God, you can't possibly have anything but a fleshly walk. Your pathway will be lighted by the rock musicians and all the rebellion of that whole music world, by Hollywood celebrities, by all of the errant philosophies of men which are contrary to the Scriptures, all of those things that enter into your life through reading, through the visual influence of television or whatever. Those things become your understanding of life and its pathway. And you walk in that darkness. Or you will make God's Word the lamp to your feet and the light to your path. And God the Holy Spirit through that will give you an enlightened and illuminated heaven's view of life. And you will walk in the Spirit. But if the Bible's a closed book to you, there's no chance that can happen. And for some of you, tragically, I have to say, you know it's true, I know it's true, your teachers know it's true. For some of you, the Bible's a closed book, except when you have to come to chapel and bring it, or to church, or to your Bible class. There's no way that your walk can be anything but a flesh walk. Because your understanding of life and its meaning and its values and its journey is all dictated by the unsaved. By the darkness of men's limited understanding of what life is. And that's an understanding that is limited by the fact they don't have any knowledge of God. So how's your walk? It's the walk of the flesh. The natural man, the Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. How's your walk? By what are you walking? How are you making your journey through life? He says, if you don't want to walk in the flesh, then I'll tell you how to avoid it. Walk in the Spirit. Both of those are choices, by the way, that you will make. Nobody can make those choices for you. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill, verse 16, you will not carry out, that's what fulfill means, you will not carry out the practices of the flesh. The truth is, and you know it, and God knows it, there are many of you that carry out every day the works of the flesh. Because you don't walk in the Spirit. And so the work of the flesh is the only other option. Now for those who are saved, it doesn't mean that we don't sometimes get in the flesh. It doesn't say that if you walk in the Spirit, you will never get in the flesh. It says you won't carry out the lust of the flesh. There's a difference. For those who carry out the lusts of the flesh, that is their walk. That is their chosen way of going through life, by the flesh, by its reasoning, by its passions, by its darkened understanding. But for those who are saved and walk in the Spirit, there will be occasionally those times when we stumble. Nobody walks perfectly. Because we live in a body of flesh. It's not that we don't ever sin as believers, but it's that we have not chosen a fleshly lifestyle. We get fleshly sometimes. But we haven't chosen the fleshly lifestyle. Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3 puts it this way. You might want to turn there. Very significant verses. Please turn there. Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. Explains this very clearly. The difference between a fleshly lifestyle and sometimes getting in the flesh. Wherein in times past, that is before our conversion, we walked according to the course of this world. It's all we could do. It's all we knew. We had no choice. We were fleshly people living in sin, dictated to by our sin nature. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You were the slave of the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Those who are unsaved still walk that way. Among whom we also all had our conversation or our former lives. Among whom we all formerly lived. That is, among the children of disobedience. In the times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling or carrying out the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What a great explanation of life before the cross and life after the cross. In times past, before our conversion, we all walked as the slaves of the flesh. We had no choice. It was all we could do. We spent our lives carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind because we were by nature people like that. Sinners, dominated by sin, slaves of sin. We don't do that anymore if we're saved. And if that's what we continue to do, and it's what we continue to choose to do, then there's one only valid conclusion, and that is, we're still on the unsaved side of the cross. Because those who are saved, because the Holy Spirit who is in us and lives there, convicts us when we do get in the flesh and yanks our chain, if you will, and says, this is not the way one of my children lives. And we feel ashamed and guilty. We repent. We ask God to forgive us and restore us. To let His Word again be the lamp and the light. So that we can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But if you find yourself choosing to carry out the walk of flesh, if it is what you seek when nobody knows what you're doing, when your parents don't know, your pastor, your prayer captain, your teachers, nobody will know when you choose the flesh. It ought to tell you what you are. You can pretend to be otherwise, but the walk you choose tells what you are. Just flesh. The flesh never ceases to be active in us. But listen to what 1 John 3, 8-10 tells us. He that committed sin, or he that practices sin, is the translation there, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, that he might destroy our inability to do anything but the works of the devil. To live in the flesh and to walk in the flesh. The unsaved man has no capacity to do anything else. And God saved us so we don't have to walk that way anymore. He didn't save us just to take us to heaven. He saved us to give us a walk here that keeps us from being the slave of the flesh. Romans 8:5 describes the two classes of people that sit here in this student body. Romans 8:5, they that are after the flesh do mind or seek or strive for, is a good translation of mind there. For they that are after the flesh do seek, do strive for the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that those who strive after the things of the Spirit don't sometimes also yearn for the flesh. But when we do, the Spirit of God rebukes us and says, no, I didn't save you to walk that way. To give you something better is what I saved you for. But they that are after the flesh seek after the flesh. What you do when nobody knows what you do reveals what you are. There are those who seek to walk after the Spirit who, in moments of weakness and moments without accountability or whatever, the flesh just takes over. But they didn't go seeking for it. They're ashamed and brokenhearted and guilty when they stumble into the flesh. Romans 8:8 says that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. There are some people in this student body listening this morning. Nothing you do pleases God. Nothing. Not your prayers, not your witnessing, not your Bible reading, not your pious testimony, not your virtuous work habits, your diligence. None of those things please God because your life is a life of the flesh. The Bible says in Proverbs, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Even a farmer doing a noble thing like getting his field ready so he can raise a crop and feed his family and feed others with his crop. Even a noble, honest, honorable deed like farming doesn't please God when it's done by an unsaved person. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So how's your walk? There's only one walk that pleases God, the walk of the Spirit. If you have no desire for that, if you seek after the things of the flesh and that's your walk, and anything other than that is abnormal only because you're forced to it, the rules insist upon it, accountability insists upon it, you're going to get caught, I have to do it, but it's not me. Then what is you? Flesh is you. And you cannot please God. You cannot. Two kinds of people in the student body. Those who seek after the flesh and those who seek after the Spirit. How's your walk? We'll continue this another day. Let's pray together. Lord, search our hearts. You've given the Holy Spirit to do that. We need you to do that. Convince the unsaved of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Lead the believer into your truth.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.